Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to start a new series. We're going to be talking about or answering the question, is it necessary? Is it a necessary sign for somebody who is saved to speak in tongues? In other words, if you're saved, must you speak in tongues? Or if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Now, this series is an unofficial addition to my series about Oneness Pentecostals, because among many other strange doctrines that they believe, unbiblical doctrines, they believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. They believe that it is a necessary sign of salvation. In other words, at that moment of salvation, you start busting out with crazy language, okay, some other tongue. So in this series, we are going to look at that. Is that biblical? I'll tell you right off, it's not, or I wouldn't be covering it in this series. But we're also going to cover exactly what is tongues. What are they? What is this? Is this a prayer language between you and you and God alone? Or is it some kind of real language for example, you have the ability to speak in a real foreign language that you do not know, and somebody from that foreign culture who knows that language will hear you and say, wow, you just preached the gospel in my language. Well, that second definition is most definitely true. Is it some kind of prayer language that you have between you and God? Well, that's a little shaky. Let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at exactly what is this. First up is Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Fascinating. All right, so these people, all these devout men out of every nation under heaven, apparently, many different people, okay? There was a very wide variety of people. And you have all these apostles, and they're all speaking in tongues, and they were hearing them speak in their own language. So clearly, at the very least, we know that this gift of speaking in tongues is the ability to speak in somebody else's language. It's a real language. You're speaking real words that do exist as part of a real language. So many times, and I'm sure I'm going to get into this in a little while, but so many times I've, as many of you know, have been part of the hyper-charismatic church. And so for years and years and years, I've been exposed to many different churches all over the United States, different movements, all kinds of missionaries that came in who all spoke in quote-unquote tongues. And I can tell you that many of these people that claim to be speaking in tongues pretty much say the same 10, 15, maybe 20 syllables over and over and over. It's the same thing. And if any of you have been exposed to this, most of you are nodding your head and saying, yeah, that's exactly what I've encountered. And so, no, this is a real language. We're talking about real languages here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 to 15, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So I'm going to stop right there. He's praying in some unknown tongue. By the way, in the King James, that word unknown is in italics, which means it doesn't appear in the Greek. The King James translators threw it in there to try and make the text read a little smoother. And okay, but I want you to be aware that when it says an unknown tongue, it really says, for if I pray and in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is fruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And so what we see here is that Paul is speaking. He's the one that wrote Corinthians. And he's saying, look, you know, I can pray in these tongues, sure. And God will understand everything I'm saying, but I don't even know what I'm saying. And that's why we see later on in this chapter, we see that Paul says, you know, maybe you ought to keep silent in church if you don't have an interpreter, somebody who can interpret the tongue, somebody that has that gift. You probably should keep silent and not be speaking your tongues in church. Okay, so all that to say, it is some kind of language that the person speaking it generally doesn't have a clue what they're saying. That's what we see from the scriptures. Earlier on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Paul says this, follow after charity, and charity generally means love in the King James, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Okay. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Okay, so, you know, you're speaking in some unknown tongue. The people around you aren't going to have a clue what you're saying, unless, of course, they speak that language. Okay, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Okay, by the way, again, when it says unknown tongue, the unknown doesn't show up. All right, just thought I'd throw that in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to throw this in here because there is a peculiar little thing that's said here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Whoa! Okay, so I don't know about nowadays, but at least at the time of the apostles, we see that he could speak, one potentially could speak with the tongues of angels? Interesting. Again, though, friends, so much, and I just mentioned this earlier, but so much, when you go around and you look at some of these churches that are speaking in tongues nowadays, you generally don't hear anybody speaking with a genuine language. All right, so, all right, what is my position on tongues for today? Let me just be upfront with you guys. I don't know. I don't know. I really need to do an in-depth study of whether or not tongues are for today. Here's the thing. Okay, I've been part of this movement. I'm no longer part of the hyper-charismatic type movement, friends, if you're wondering. But I was part of this movement for, I don't know, 10 years. And nowhere during that time did I ever encounter a person who sounded like he was speaking a real language. And what I mean by that is, generally, what I encountered were people who could only speak maybe 15, 20 syllables over and over and over. And it was usually in a loop. And every once in a while, they would mix and match. And boy, I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny, but there were many people that I was around so often that I could just about emulate their version of tongues by I've been around them so often, I could just about say exactly what they were saying myself. And they would just say it over and over and over. I'm not even sure if they were aware of it. There were other people that would literally repeat 2 to 3 syllables. And this went on for years and years, and it never changed. If you were sitting next to them at church, you would hear somebody go, sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, sha-na-na-na-na-na-na. And some of you are nodding your head because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's not a language. That is, you can't even confuse that with a real language. That's certainly not a language from this world. And so what do you have left? an angelic language? Is that how angels speak? They all get together and go, sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And then they look at each other and go, wait, what did you just say? Because we all just said that. It's like when the Smurfs all talk about smurfing, and you don't have a clue what Smurf is Smurf. And what does it even mean to Smurf? Because you can Smurf many different ways. So what? Okay. Maybe that was a bad example. But you get what I'm saying? When you hear these tongues, it is a repetition of just a few syllables, maybe 20. If you meet somebody who's been doing it for a long time, they might have a very expanded vocabulary of maybe 50 syllables of what appears to still be gibberish. Another thing I wanted to point out is that, you know, I hate even to bring this stuff up, but every person, I mean, every different church community that I've encountered that did this, they were just neck deep in false doctrine. If you want to know more about that, look at my series, The Word of Faith Movement. I think it's Word of Faith Movement Exposed. Check out my series on Todd Bentley. Check out my series on Bill Johnson. It's all the same nonsense. You get caught up in, for example, the Word of Faith, Positive Confession, which is nothing more than the New Age concept of the Law of Attraction, or Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, where you're speaking reality. You're speaking spiritual things into existence. So if you want to make sure you're not going to get sick, you just continually say, I'm not sick, I'm healthy. If you want to be rich, you just say things like, my wallet is fat. You know, look at you, you big billfold full of money. I've never seen you so full of money in your entire life. You know, oh, I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry, guys. It's nonsense. You also see them caught up in the healing in the atonement type doctrine that everybody who is saved must be healed. You see some of the Adam God doctrine creeping in, all kinds of strange Word of Faith nonsense. And it's false doctrine. And I mean, just all kinds of wacky stuff. And again, check out my series on the Word of Faith, Bill Johnson, Todd Bentley, and I'm sure there's more to come down the road because there's so many of them. And I talk about people like Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Joel Osteen, even Joyce Meyer, and so many more. But when you look at these churches that speak in tongues, that is generally what you find is they're just neck deep in false doctrine. Also, you find, not always, but pretty much in just about every case I've looked into, every different church community that I've been a part of or have worked with, they're just filled with sin and all kinds of gross sin. You see them come to church and they're just hyper holy and righteous. And then they go out into the world the next day and act like a bunch of heathens. You see them on Facebook and you're like, holy smokes. I can't believe you just said that. And the stuff they post. So, you know, you see them, they're easily deceived by false teachers. They encourage others to listen to and be overcome by false teachers. You find quite a bit of witchcraft in these types of churches. You see things like Kundalini, lots of wackiness, people falling over the floor and twitching and howling and barking like dogs and squawking like chickens. And you know what else? You don't see any real spiritual growth. You don't see anybody changing. I run into some of these people. They're the same exact person they were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago. They're the same person. They haven't changed. They're not even growing in their faith. It's just like they're on this never-ending loop. And you also find that rarely, my goodness, rarely do any of them read their Bible. None of them understand the Word of God. And they're easily taken by any wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. All right, and these are the guys, again, these are the types of people that you find that are supposedly speaking in tongues. So yes, I have a very bad taste in my mouth for this kind of stuff. I will lean towards that tongues have ceased. You know, when it says that when that perfect comes, these gifts, these tongues will cease. The question is, what is that perfect? What is that? Is that when the word of God came? That's what I think, but I can't prove that with 100%. So I need to do a really in-depth study and see if I can't pull that out. If I can't come up with a rock solid argument either way, I'm not going to put a podcast series up on it. But it is a subject that I'll admit I've been somewhat avoiding for the last year because I have so much emotion over this particular issue. And, you know, and I've been part of this, okay? And I've seen so many things. All right, somebody gets saved and they don't speak in tongues, all right, whether it's a month, 2 months, a year, a couple years later, and somebody finds out, maybe the pastor is doing a message on tongues that week or whatever, okay? What happens, all right, one of the things that happens is they try to get you, the church, the congregation, or your friends or whatever, they try to get you worked up in a spiritual frenzy, all right? They get you frothing at the mouth. They get you all whipped up. Maybe it's through long, repetitious praise songs or whatever. They try to get you whipped up, or just a preacher getting wild and crazy, maybe fire tunnels, sozo, whatever, okay? They're going to get you all whipped up, and then they tell you to open your mouth and just start speaking it out. Just let it flow, all right? And sometimes they'll even encourage you to fake it until you make it. And I kid you not, this happens. This absolutely happens. Or someone will say, you know, I have a word for you. And I mean that in the sense that the Lord gave them their first tongues word, their first prayer language word, okay? And so they'll be like, I have a word for you. It is shanana, okay? Sorry, guys, I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to do that, okay? This messes with me. Okay, and then the person, they'll tell, okay, so just start repeating that. Shanana, 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 na, 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 na. Okay, next thing you know, now they speak in tongues. That's it. You're declared. You speak in tongues now. No, guys, when the Holy Spirit fell on these guys, when it fell on the apostles, these tongues of fire were burning above their heads, and then they started speaking in tongues. It was real, guys. It wasn't playing. And that's the sense I get. When I'm in these churches, they're playing games. It's a big game. Everybody wants to make sure they don't look like the guy who's unspiritual and doesn't know how to speak in tongues. And now I know a ton of you are nodding your head right now. You know, you don't want to be the one who can't speak in tongues. Okay, so, you know, fake it till you make it. Speak it out in faith. Pick a syllable and repeat it over and over and over again. Next thing you know, they speak in tongues. They're claiming it. I speak in tongues. And they've been part of this church for millions of years, sorry, for a long time. And you hear them speak in tongues, and they're still repeating about the same 15, 20 syllables over and over and over again. And everybody seems to have their own little sound, right? They all got their own little sound of tongues. All right, let's move on. I'm starting to beat a dead horse here. In fact, no, let's go ahead and stop. Friends, if you're new to youth apologetics training and you like these types of subjects, you like worldviews, you like cults, creation, evolution, Bible difficulties, and the like, apologetics in general and worldview type studies, on my website, youthapologeticstraining.com, there's a podcast archive. There's somewhere around, 380 episodes that you can download from my website. So you go to youthapologeticstraining.com, click on the link that says podcast archive, and then on that first page, you only see about 20 podcasts, but there are page after page after page of podcasts, lots of content, lots of interesting stuff. There's even a search tool so you can search by subject. So anyway, yeah, check that out if you're new to this. I have many subjects that you'll probably be interested in. Also, I'm connected on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. You guys can find me there, and I love talking to you. I will do my best to answer your questions. Sometimes it takes me a little bit of time, but I love talking to you guys. I love answering questions, and I want to bring you closer to God and equip you in your faith. So with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.